We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. And open your Bibles, if you have one, to the book of, let's do both 1 Peter and chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5, the same text that we used this morning. And I can't preach the same message because I lost that outline. Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 5. I like to, again, as I said this morning, spend time in the month of February looking at our marriages. And as we, again, look at them and ponder love and marriage. Praise the Lord. The Bible has much to say about marriage, and it'd be good for us to do a study of it each February, as we have been doing for several years here now. So as we look here at these two texts, again, let's consider God has a plan for your marriage. And again, when we look at marriage and the possibilities of, we have three young guys here again who are looking forward to marriage off into the future here again. And so as we outline some things here, the importance of marriage, we want to look at having a hi-fi marriage, continuing on from our theme that we started this morning, a high fidelity marriage. And tonight we want to look at three areas of possible infidelity in our marriages. And so as we look at those things, it's going to be kind of a warning of things to avoid in our marriages and to be careful about. And so let's go ahead and pick it up in Ephesians chapter 5 one more time first. And then we'll look at some instruction given in 1 Peter and chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 5. Follow along in your Bible as I would read from God's holy word, starting there in verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5 and starting in verse 19. I'd almost start earlier to recognize that Peter or Paul here is giving to the church at Ephesus. This is one of his first prison epistles. He'd been silent for 2 years and he'd been in prison and imprisoned, and now he was beginning to write what's called his prison epistles. And here he's given chapter 5 with some instructions on how to walk, given Christians instructions on how to walk. And he closes that with this section on marriage. And so let's begin our reading in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 21, where we read this morning, says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And so we see the role of husband and wife laid out there in a mystery, even as we don't fully understand the full relationship of Christ and the church. We don't fully understand the relationship of husband and wife here, but we know we have a pattern to follow and that we need to follow that. And so let's go ahead and look at 1 Peter then, chapter 3. We already looked this morning at some verses explained what Christ was to us and why these two likewises are important in chapter 3 of 1 Peter. So even as Christ behaved himself in this world in his sacrifice, likewise, it says here, wives, and likewise in verse 7, ye husbands. And so chapter 3 says, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. The psalmist in Proverbs again mentions a brutish woman, and guys, don't marry a brutish woman, okay? Figure out what that is and avoid it again. And our society is filled again in this day and age with people who have no concept of the role of women or being ladylike. And so here again, as we look at these things, it should be clear to us that again, God has a plan for all of our lives. And here, this meek and quiet spirit is talked about, which is in the sight of God of great price. Verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And so again, a challenge here, a very hard order again to follow as far as submission for a woman in the marriage role, and some very good examples that are given here. Then in verse 7 it says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, and that your prayers be not hindered. Father, praise you for your word. Thank you again for its clarity, even on this subject of the role of the husband and the wife in the home and in marriage. And Father, I pray again that you just enlighten our eyes. Cause again, Father, that we'd understand the clarity of your word in these things. And Father, the world's all in confusion and derision even over these matters. And I pray again, Father, that you teach us and help us to always side with your word in these relationships. And we'll praise you and thank you for blessing your words even tonight. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen. So as we look here again at these requirements for marriage, or in these roles for the husband and wife, I like to again spend a little bit of time each time we look at this to understand that that goes way against everything that the world. In fact, this is so politically incorrect that the Southern Baptist Association took a vote whether they thought in the Bible the wives were supposed to be subject to their wives. This is the Southern Baptist that voted on something that's clearly in the Bible and said, what do you think? And so, boy, it was close, but by a vote of 5-3, they said, yes, we think that a wife should be subject to her own husband, and the husband should be the leader in the home. Well, I'm kind of glad they voted that way. I'm kind of disappointed that they had to put it to a vote. I'm kind of disappointed that there's in those three that would say, no, we don't think that we ought to do what the God says in His Word. And so again, this old world, even in religious circles, is taking exception to God's Word and living outside of it. And we can see that throughout our society. We mentioned again this morning the sodomy that's in this world, the transsexuals, people who say God made me this way, and they shake their fist at God and try and blame Him for what sin has done. But again, understand that sin has done some things in this world. If you look at, I just wrote a chapter in on anthropology, I think is where I put that in there, the doctrine of man, on the genesis of sin. Where did sin come from? And in the genesis of sin, you find out that the strongest word used against sin was given again in the context of Sodom and Gomorrah. When they rebelled against God. And again, the teaching in the street, or church across the street, the teaching in the Presbyterian church, and all of those that say, we're inclusive and we accept all this, they teach that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of the pride of their heart, not because of the sodomy of the men that were there. And so again, they twist the Bible, they take it out of context. In fact, we just had in our reading this one verse. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way while we're right here. In Leviticus, what was that? Leviticus 20:18. Nope, Leviticus 18:22. Is that what it was? I'll know it when I find it in my... 18:22. Leviticus 18:22. So jot that date down. 18:22 was a very good year. Some of you remember it. Well, okay. Probably Grandma doesn't even remember 18:22. Look at this verse. How clear could it be? Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22. I have it circled in my Bible, and sodomy written in the top and bottom margin. Leviticus 18:22. Be sure that this is in your Bible. It's not in the NIV. It's not in some of the other Bibles. And it says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." Is that pretty clear? Is that pretty straightforward? And so what's going on in the candidate for the White House, every night he goes home to his husband and they are in abomination, and he now wants to be the leader of the free world. We are in a mess in this country when it comes to immorality, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. To again understand that the whole idea of marriage has been so contorted and twisted in our society that it's good for us to visit God's plan on a regular basis here each year in February, and understand that God has some rules about how we conduct ourselves in marriage. And those rules are not there because God's a bully. Those rules are not there, again, because they must be enforced. They are there as guidelines for us to understand that if you want a home that's going to be a taste of paradise here on this earth, you're going to have to follow God's directions. You're going to have to realize why and how God made man and woman. And again, He has established these rules for how we should conduct ourselves in our home. And so we looked at that pretty much this morning with the idea and the emphasis on the husbands following after to love the wife as Christ loved the church. And we saw several things. We saw that he loved the church so much that he gave his life. He loved the church to the point where he said, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. He loved the church to the point where he would provide all of our needs. And lastly, he loved the church so much that he would lead them into all truth and lead them into spiritual truths. And so we looked at that application, and that is a role of a husband to do all four of those things that Christ has done for his church. Today, I want to finish my outline, and I didn't even write it down yet. So let's go ahead and take some things that's important to our marriage concerning infidelity. Now, we saw this morning that if you bought a hi-fi system, it was a... And probably Jody knows what a hi-fi system is. He's an old man. And remember the hi-fi systems that we used to buy. And that was the phrase that we'd have is a hi-fi system. And that stood for high fidelity. So the music that was on the input is when you put that little needle on that little record. And it went... then came out just beautiful music that was a high fidelity music. I remember, I forgot where it was, but it was where that warehouse was. Where was that? Dayton, Ohio. Dayton, Ohio, we went to this warehouse and it had electronics. Five-story warehouse just filled with all the electronics. And I forgot who I went out there with, some crazy guy that I was associated with. And I came out of there carrying speakers. I had three speakers that was this big around. And I still got them and I hung them up there in your mom's old library room there. But I built a case for these, and I built a street speaker. So I had a big woofer speaker, and then I had a mid-range speaker, and then I had the little tweeter speakers in the bottom. And I built all the filters for them and connected them up. And I remember when the first time I hooked both of those speakers up to my little stereo system, and I just turned it up as loud as it was go and listened to classical music. I was into classical music at that time. And I had never heard such fidelity come out of speakers. Usually you got scratchy, all these noise. And this, the speakers that I built and the frames that I didn't design the frames. I copied some frame design so you'd get the very best acoustic out of all these speakers. And they were all separated into little compartments. And boy, I remember just sitting for hours listening to that and thinking, wow, it's like being right in the middle of the orchestra. It was an amazing thing. And so they're hanging in there now, and I don't have them hooked up to my stereo. But again, a high fidelity system is one so that you can hear whatever comes in is faithful to what is reproduced on your speaker system. And so we want to look at that application, have a high fidelity marriage. And that is, again, that it is faithful. A marriage that is faithful and resolutely faithful in everything. And so to have a high fidelity marriage, notice again that things that would distract from that is infidelity. And so I want to cover three areas of infidelity that will attack your home. The first, of course, is physical infidelity. When you get married, you make this promise that you will hold to one woman for one lifetime. At least I did. That's the wedding vows again that we had, was that we would be faithful and forsaking all others, give myself only unto this woman over here. And so that again is one of our vows, that we will be physically faithful to only one woman in our lifetime, nobody else. And so again, when we keep that promise, notice again that we're talking about physical fidelity, that we're going to be faithful to that promise. And physically, we're not going to go out and live with another woman for a while. We're not going to go out and commit adultery outside of marriage. And we have made some promises about fidelity in that regard for a physical fidelity. Now, I would say here that it would not surprise me anymore. In my time in the military, in my time in Baptist churches, it would not surprise me to find any marriage that I bump into that's tangled in infidelity, physical infidelity. I mean, the attack on our lives is perpetual. It's from every direction. In the workplace, when I was in the military again, in the workplace, there's always women in the workplace. I spent a lot of time in the engineering office and again in the engineering world. And when you go to work, there's always a secretary there who's all dressed up. She's got all her makeup on. You never seen her come with her hair stuck all over the place. She never smelled bad. She always looked perfect. And what happens is, again, is we get enamored with that and we forget that's not real. That, again, and so a lot of, in the workplaces, there's all kinds of connections that made, and people start thinking, you know, maybe I made the wrong choice when I married that woman. And so we see all these temptations. On the internet now, again, I've been amazed at how many marriages break up because somebody met somebody on the internet. And again, all of a sudden, he takes off. He leaves his wife. He leaves his three kids. And he's gone off to Washington someplace to live with some woman that he met on the internet. It happens too often. And it's not a coincidence. And so we have got to guard in our lives, even against physical infidelity, that we would be careful who we hang around with. Gave Pence a hard time about his rules when he first was going to be the vice president. They thought he will not be alone with other women. Remember some of that? And they gave him a hard time and said, man, that's just not going to work. You can't operate that way. And he was staunch about it. He said, no, those are rules that he has as a Christian. Those are good rules. That you be careful that way, because none of us are above that. So again, it can tangle in any of our lives that we would all of a sudden say, I'm in love with somebody else and I'm ditching my wife and I'm leaving. And so we've seen that all too often to pretend that it could never happen to me. It can happen to you. You can be enticed in that. It can happen to your spouse. She can be pulled away in another direction like that. It is possible. And so let me just clearly say here that there's nothing more destructive than physical infidelity. In counseling with married people, I've often heard it said that, well, I can forgive him of any sin except that sin. I could forgive him of any sin. I could forgive her of any sin except for the sin of adultery. I would never forgive them of that sin. And that's a pretty common sentiment. And so to begin to understand the horridness of a failure in that regard and the hurt and destruction that's brought into lives and homes and parents and grandparents and children and offspring and kin, to understand that the hurt that's brought in that because of that infidelity, boy, you want to be careful of that. And take good steps to guard against it. And don't say, I could never do that. You could do that. We've got to all be careful with that. And so I'll not spend a lot of time there just to understand that, hey, it is not uncommon in our society. It is not uncommon in our Baptist Independent Fundamental KJV thumping churches that people run off with another woman. That, again, there is a physical infidelity. And so just be on guard against that. A second infidelity that people often live with, and that is, I'm going to call this a mental infidelity. You might be with your wife, but you're imagining you're with someone else. You might be with your husband, but you're imagining or wishing or doting on being with somebody else in your mind. And you might overcome that so that, again, you'd never act on it and you'd never go that way. But living in a mental infidelity, not being faithful to those vows you made, and in your mind stepping outside of your marriage, Listen, that is destructive to that relationship. And you cannot go on. First off, again, once the spouse finds out what's going on, the hurt is irreparable. The loss of trust is irreparable. All the things that entice, especially men here, I'm going to cover again, all the things that entice men and pulls them away to all the sexual things that's in this world. Be careful that it can, again, put aversion in your home, put a destructive influence in your home, and you are now guilty of a mental infidelity in your mind. You live in that fantasy world, and you live in a world that's not real, and that has a horrid effect on your marriage. The relationship between husband and wife is not to have any of that tangled up in it. And so those are two types of infidelity we'll cover here tonight. And the third one I want to talk about is even closer to home, okay? And so those two, again, we think of those are primarily in the physical realm, but they can also be in the emotional. They could also be in the spiritual realm that infidelity is in place in our lives, either physically, actually, or mentally. In our mind, we're off with another woman. We're off with another mate. And be careful of those. The third infidelity is most and so common in marriages that I just want to spend a little bit of time speaking about it tonight. And that's called financial infidelity. Really? What is financial infidelity? Listen, I just reading even over Valentine's here, they had a whole bunch of statistics on about homes and marriages and all that's going on in our homes and marriages. And they said, if I remember the numbers right, that 80% of all homes have their credit card matched to the limit. 80% of homes have their credit card matched to the limit. And so they're in a position where they're in debt, where they cannot recover from that. We had a couple we were counseled with out in Ohio, and we thought, yeah, we'll go ahead and help them out, and found out that they had maxed their credit card. And then they got a loan, paid off their credit card debt, and then they didn't have any credit card, so they got another credit card. And guess what they did? They maxed that credit card. And then again, they got a loan and paid off that credit card. And then they got another credit card. And they maxed that credit card. And they was $80,000 in credit card debt. And they was paying 18% interest. And listen, you figure it out. You will never get out of that kind of debt. It's impossible. That's worse than a loan shark. I don't think loan sharks, I don't know any loan sharks personally, you know, but I don't know if they charge 18%. That's what MasterCard, Visa, that's what they do, is they charge you. And you just make that, all you got to do is make that minimum payment and they're happy. And you make that minimum payment, you're paying 18% interest on everything else. And so, again, that we make financially unwise decisions. And let's bring that back now to our infidelity in the home and understand that there's a lot of wives, there's a lot of husbands that have to say, ooh, I can't let my wife find out what I spent for this. There's a lot of wives that hide. Some marriages I've known have two separate accounts. They keep all their accounts separate. I think that's wrong. I think that's dangerous. And you're setting up a conflict again in your home that ought not to be. You're one flesh. You ought to be one bank account as well. Again, to understand that, hey, there's this conflict in finances about who's spending what. And sometimes, again, if you run to the mailbox to get the checking account stubs before your husband finds out, or if you hide them from your wife, again, there's a lot of that going on, and that's an infidelity in our finances. That we are not one, that we are not agreed in how we're spending our finances. And you need to get over that. You need to come to a place where you're in agreement on these things. And sometimes that's a hard thing. You need to have an ability to set up a budget and how you do your spending and be agreed on that. I do that very well. I give all my money to my wife and say, here, spend it all and have a nice day. And praise the Lord, she's been very careful. We do have some rules, again, that's more than that. But Beverly does all of my finances. I don't worry hardly about anything, again. But there's been times, again, when checks start bouncing, and a lot of it's been my fault. I'll start bouncing checks, and all of a sudden, there's these secrets going on in our home that don't let somebody else find out that this check bounced and it's cost us $200 and yada, yada, yada. And having finances where we're not upfront with each other, that we're keeping secrets from each other, is a very dangerous thing. And that would be called infidelity, that we are not being faithful to each other in our finances. And so, again, with this credit card debt, again, we've got the book upstairs. I got a couple copies of that on setting up a budget and getting yourself out of debt and paying off your debt. We have Ken that we just talked to, and we said, you know, you got all this extra money. You ought to pay off your house loan. Pay extra on your house loan. And I didn't understand their response. I said, you'd be amazed. Just pay a couple hundred extra on your house loan, and you can take that from a 30-year mortgage down to a 10-year mortgage extremely fast, especially up front if you put a little money on there, and get out of debt, even a more house mortgage. Get out of debt. Have a plan that you're following to, again, get out of debt, to manage your finances together. And to sit down. Three things that marriages fight about. Number one and two we won't mention, but let me tell you what number three is. Number three is always finances. There's always fights, there's struggles about finances going on in a home. And so, again, get that cleared out right early and say, hey, we're going to be faithful to each other so that each of you know what's going on in your checking accounts, in your finances, in your savings, in how you're budgeting your money. Have a plan and follow the plan. And by all means, do what you can. Larry Burkett. Larry Burkett, I think, is the one that has the book I got upstairs for getting out of debt. And plan on that. Get out of debt. When Beverly and I retired from the military, we had three houses paid for. Boy, that's a nice idea. That's a good feeling, again, that you can have your mortgage is gone. And we did that just by putting extra on our mortgage every month. And then, of course, once we sold one house, we'd buy another house and end up with minimal payments. But again, the financial freedom that leaves you at is important for life. Again, we've got Ken that are $100,000 in debt on a house and no chance of paying it off in this lifetime. By the time you're old and gray-headed, you ought to have something paid for again. And so have a financial plan. And for husbands and wives, make sure you sit down and go through things together. Beverly and I just this past year said, you know, we ought to go ahead and pay for all of our funeral expenses. We ought to have all of that taken care of so our children don't have to put up with any of that. And that's wise planning. We ought to, again, have a plan. We ought to, again, be pursuing and watching our finances and taking care of those things. And we ought to do that again, with a fidelity, with a faithfulness to each other, that there's no secrets about money, especially, that there's no secret spendings, and there's no secret, boy, don't let the wife find out how much I paid for this. So again, be careful of that, and just understand that that infidelity is hurtful in a relationship. It is destructive in a relationship. And there's a lack of trust there. And listen, when we're one flesh, God wants us to be one flesh with fidelity, with full faithfulness, that we are faithful to each other. And so those are just three of the areas, again, that I'd bring up as far as infidelity. And those are the three most fought over things, again, in our homes. The other being probably family, about whether you spend Christmas with in-laws or outlaws, as it were. But again, a lot of strife brought in by our finances. And so get some help. Larry Burkett's book there is an excellent help, a resource for that. Just again, to get a handle on your finances, make sure you've got a plan together for life, and that you've sat down and talked about these things, and you can. I found, again, in a lot of marriages that there's things that are untouchable. As with one lady, it said, oh, don't talk about that. Don't talk about that. He will blow up if you bring that up. And so don't even touch that subject. Well, listen, for a marriage, there should be no place like that. There should be no place where you two can't go as a husband and wife, where you can't go and talk about it and explore it. There should be no areas of your life that's untouchable and say, ooh, I can't talk about that. He'll go crazy if you bring that up. There shouldn't be any of that. And again, very often guys use that as a control issue to keep the wife out of those things or to keep the wife in line. And that's not leadership. That's very destructive. And so again, to have that kind of fidelity in our home, a physical fidelity and a promise of faithfulness, a mental fidelity and an emotional fidelity, that we are going to be faithful to our spouse. And then lastly, in the financial arenas, that there's no secrets, there's no fights, there's no misunderstandings, that we keep things, everything again, well communicated, and that we can have a home that's a taste of paradise here on this earth. Father, praise you and thank you that we could openly look at some things about our homes, our relationships, our being one flesh with another human. We thank you again and praise you for the homes represented in this room. We thank you and praise you again for the fidelity that's found in those homes and the faithfulness that's there, and ask that you'd smile on it even again to pour out a blessing on each home that's here tonight. Pray that you'd be with these boys as they look off into the future and imagine themselves as husbands and leaders in the home, and pray again, Father, that you'd tug on their heart with some insight from your word even tonight. We'll praise you now and thank you for hearing our prayer, touching each home as we walk through the rest of this month of February and start into spring. Help us, go with us, and we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. All right, praise the Lord. I'm at 5 minutes overtime. Let's stand, and we'll just dismiss with a blessed be the tie that binds. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Lord, bless you tonight.